learn how to like scream properly, like, because I've like met lots of dudes who are like, yeah, I can scream properly for my music. No, you can't, buddy. Like, it sounds really good, but your vocal cords. So I think that's something I really want to do. Like, I really just want like very, like, I'm gonna make like cute pop music, and then like on the side, like a very heavy, like I really want to do it.
Outstanding. This conversation has gone in a direction that I really appreciate. But what's really interesting is that your current stuff, while lyrically you may echo some of your influences that you've mentioned, it is very synth, and like it's got a contemporary vibe to it that also echoes, like you had mentioned, some 80s music, or like it feels kind of like what 80s soundtracking would sound like. Can you maybe talk about like are you making that production? Is that coming from somebody you're collaborating with? Can you talk a little bit more about the music side of the music that you're putting out?
Okay, so huge shout out to some people I worked with the production. So two of the tracks out of the five are produced by very close friend and collaborator Colleon Rath. He has his own music, which is like amazing. A lot more like electronic-y, but the funny thing is, at least with the first track, Breakfast, I remember texting him when I first started, like, I have this idea for a project, and I was like, I want to make a disco album. I just woke up in the middle of the night, I was like, I want to make a disco album. I texted him, and he did not send me a disco instrumental. He sent me like an instrument. He was like, I have this idea for it's an 80s themed one. So I almost made a 70s record, went 10 years in the future. And the second track was produced by, again, close friend, like frequent collaborator, Evan, or Stark. It's like spelt S-T-V-R-K, but it's Stark. He's amazing producer, a lot more EDM-y, but again, forced them to like kind of like follow this thing I had in my head. And I ended up producing two out of the five tracks, which is the interlude in the middle, 7 minutes in Heaven, and the very weird one, Jewels. Jewels is a very weird one. It was like a lot more like out of like my like experience level. It was way out of my punching belt when I first started writing it. It's gone through 8 very different versions, like on my computer. And the synthy sound, I was just so obsessed with designing my own like synths and like just nerdy production stuff. And a lot of the samples like at the end are actually from like SkyTrain stations. Like I went with like my phone and like the voice memos, and I recorded like, you know, when like you're the machine is like, oh, transaction is about to expire, like that bleeping like noise. That's like one of the main sounds in the outro of that song. So the production was very fun to deal with, dealt with lots of technical stuff, but it was a very fun thing to do, like, technically.
Yeah, I'm talking about collaborators. You mentioned Breakfast, which you actually have a video coming out for. And on that track, you have Frederick Banto. Can you maybe talk about how that collaboration started, and then talk about that music video a little bit?
Yeah, Breakfast is the first track on the project. Very fun one. So right when we got like COVID restrictions like lifted like a little bit, I ran a session with Colleon, who produced the track, recorded it. A completely different person was on the feature of that song. Months go by and I just go, no, this doesn't work. The feature just like sometimes like it's a good performance, it's a good verse, but it just didn't work with the entire like the rest of the project, right? And I ended up organizing and being a part of like a live stream concert in November that streamed from like New Zenith Cafe in like East Van. And when we were streaming it, Colleon, who again, cool dude, friend, he picked a lot of the lineup. And a lot of the lineup were people I wasn't exactly friends with, but I like had heard their music before. And Frederick Banto, I had worked with accidentally one time on a song that's never coming out. Like, I recorded a verse for it. I'd heard his verse, but I just had never met him. And I was just like, I wonder. And he ended up like playing that live stream show, and I played Breakfast without the feature. It was just like a like very short condensed version of the song, like 2 minutes long. He goes, hey, let's work together. that song's amazing. You need a feature for it. And then that's kind of how his verse ended up being on there. Even, and it makes it so much better. Like, it was missing that, like, that little bit of, like, spice. Yeah. And music video was a whole other doozy. It's not out. It should be out, I think, by the time, like, this is, like, broadcast into your ears. But it took, like, a couple. I feel like it took a couple months to edit. Directed by the wonderful Wim Kwok. And she took on the project. No budget, no money. It looks amazing. And it was recorded with just like a couple crew members that volunteered their time.
Yeah, I'm excited for the song. The song slaps. And the music video premieres on April 26th. That's featuring Frederick Banto. So that's, without further ado, let's throw to it. This is Breakfast by Hailu, and you're listening to it on the Vancouver Mixtape. Back on the Vancouver Mixtape. Jamie here. I'm here with Hallelujah Hailu. That was Breakfast featuring Frederick Banto. The video for that, of course, coming out on April 26th. Now let's talk about the big old elephant in the room, which is COVID, and how that affect, like, interesting time to, like, really kind of kick off your career as a musician.
Yeah, very, very interesting. It's been very weird because, of course, it'd be, like, a lot more, like, live performance opportunity, if anything. That's what hurts the most because I'm a huge concert lover and performer. But if anything, it's just forced me to get a lot more creative with how to get myself out there. And, like, notably, at least with my EP, I've had, like, a lot of time to think about how I wanted to, like, make, like, a video announcing it. Like, I made a fake cereal ad. And I spent so much time doing it because I wasn't allowed to go hang out with people for a while. The writing for the EP, it, like, most of it was done, like, through Discord or Zoom. And one day recording with another person. Everything else was, like, recorded in my bedroom with mostly a KSM-37, which is a pick and mic that I stolen from my school for, like, half the year. My teacher was not happy, like, the amount of time I had it. And like a lot of the songs, like I feel like with songwriting, some songs take like forever to finish. Like Jules took so long, so many drafts, but other songs like Float, it took, I think that song was written within a weekend. Like I just was so like, I had everything just, it just went bop, bop, bop. So with COVID, although like it's locked a lot of doors, you know, it's opened a window like that I've had to break open. And like, you know, like I've had to be a lot more creative.
Now like were a lot of these songs, all these songs, were they created during lockdown or were you mentioned it took a long time for a lot of them. Like, is that, did you have some that you had started before and they were final versions fleshed out through COVID or?
So, the idea for Jules, like, I feel like I'll like write kind of a song that's similar to what I want to be the final project. Like, I think the first draft of the song was like, I played it on guitar and I was like, and I'll put it down in a notebook and I'll go, I'll come back to this. And it'll morph into like what ends up being the final song. But besides that one, everything was written past March 2020. Like everything, like since that, like that one, like Friday, like before everything really got shut down, like everything was past that weekend at least.
Yeah, and I guess you'd mentioned that before with like how you've developed into more of a storyteller versus like getting into the really, really personal stuff, and elaborating on that. Now what are the next steps then? Like are you planning on just in lieu of shows, just like constant releases, or are you gonna milk this a little bit and like do some of the online streaming shows? What else do you have coming up?
Well, I feel like, okay, in the game of like, if I want to be like a cool Spotify streaming person, I'm gonna have to put out like a bunch of singles, but I'm very anti that because it just causes so much burnout to be like, I have to put out a song in 8 weeks so the Spotify algorithm puts me on a playlist and so I can make money. Which you don't make money from streaming. Like, it's like you make no money from streaming. So I think like for a while I'm going to be in this 80s inspired, dreamy greetings and salutations themed era. A lot more tricks up my sleeve post-release. Very many. This is the first music video that's coming out. There's a live stream show, which I'll mention, but I'm not, like, it's not announced yet, which is going to be very cool and lots of people are a part of. So, yeah, that's what we're going to be doing for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I should be a little sheepish. You literally on, it was April 23rd, you released Greetings and Salutations. you're like debut record. I have a video on Monday and I'm like, okay, well, what's next? Like, what are you going to do next? But how's the response been to the record? Like, you put it out there with some hype behind it. What have been people, like, have people been listening, giving lots of positive feedback?
I'm surprised that, like pre-release, like, I remember, like, making, like, a bunch of bets within, like, me and the people who, like, worked on it, being like, what song is going to be, like, most well-received? What song do you think is going to have, like, most streams first week? There's a lot of, like, arguing back and forth, but it's like doing a lot better in like weirder ways, I think. I think the weirdest thing is I don't know why the interlude is doing so well. Like, I don't know why people really like that interlude. I think it's a cute little interlude. I was just like, I wrote it and I was just like, this is cute. It's not going to be a whole song. It's just going to be in the middle. It's going to be an interlude. It's people really like it. And Jules, which I've mentioned a million times just because it does not really fall within the same commercial category. Like, it's kind of just, it has no drums, like weird, huge pauses, like very weird, like people really like that song. Cause I feel like out of anything, like, I think that one's the most like introspective, like self-reflective. And I think I'm lying the least in that song. Like, I mentioned the creative lying. This EP, although like I had to pretend I was going outside and hanging out with people and I was having all these interactions that I wrote about, that song and Float, I feel like, are the truest to things that have happened in my life that I've reflected onto music.
Based on like though maybe those habits that you've noticed, or maybe even just in the process of creating this album, we talked about things that you've learned in the past year leading up to it. What have you learned from this process just in the last little bit that maybe you'll work on for future projects, or just like you've noticed in terms of your development of an artist over the last little bit in terms of promoting this album?
So I think I learned a crap ton. I put out like another single, Buttercup, in like January, completely not the plan. It was very spontaneous, but I learned a little bit, like, oh, like maybe I should like give myself a little bit of like lead time, like before I release it. Cause I had a habit of like, I'm going to submit this to streaming services 3 weeks before I want it to come out and then like figure out everything as I go. But with this, I gave myself a crap ton of like a lead time from when everything was done to sit down and create a visual story, is the term I think a lot of music people use now. Like, I sat down and I was like, what do I want people to like? What pictures do I want people to see? Like, what vibe do you want people to get like visually from everything? Like, as the EP rolls out and time goes on, like, you're going to see like these cool Photoshops I did of like magazine covers, and you're going to see one more music video, which I'm very excited about. You're going to see all of these like different things, little tiny things that I thought a lot about to create like a visual story to go along with the thematic concepts and vibes of the entire project. Yeah. And I think if anything, like, I've also just learned how to take good criticism. Like, out of this entire project, like, I took like a lot of like, wow, this sucks, and then going home and then working on everything until I get like a project that's definitively like something that I'm proud of, right?
That's like all you can do really is just like constantly allow yourself to develop off of things that you've like, I don't know, however harsh you are on yourself or the criticism that you receive from others. So like, and to learn those things early on in your career is kind of vital. And yeah, it's I can't help but be excited for things that you've done, that you're going to do in the future. And I'm excited that there is this badass record that now exists online that I can listen to at my own free will. So you also host a show on CJSF called Vibe Check Radio. Do you want to just talk a little bit about that before we call it a day here?
Oh yeah, of course. Vibe Check, Tuesdays 3 to 4. It's a show hosted by some buddies. We started last year pre-COVID. The great days when we could go into the studio and bring people in. And initially it was two different shows called The Uncovered and Vibe Check, and we were like running on like a rotating schedule. And our show, like my show that like Vibe Check like overtook it eventually, it was very interview based, and the entire thing was like youth culture, youth music. Like, we talked a lot about the music that we made and what we learned, a lot of the mistakes we made. We interviewed lots of people that we just liked. Eventually, we combined with Uncovered. So current lineup is me, Kalyan, and Younghun, and casually our friend Lisa, or Sahadi is her music name. Recently, it's been interviews with just like people, again, mostly based in Vancouver, cool music people, and again, lots of shows of just like, hey guys, I learned this thing while making music. Like, there's a whole episode talking about what, like, every single mistake I think I made during the rollout of Capitol Hill. It was just completely just like, this is every single thing I did, so you don't have to do it. It's super weird realizing people listen to our show and like take stuff out of it, but it's a very fun thing that we've been doing, and you should totally check out.
That's Vibe Check Radio. That's Tuesdays at 3 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM. Make sure you go listen. But you should also listen to Hallelujah's record, Greetings and Salutation. Where can we find it?
It's everywhere. You can find it on every streaming service you could possibly think of. We got the Spotify's, the Apple Music, the iTunes. I think Google Play might have been retired. We got Amazon, Tidal, if you really like hi-fi streaming, I guess. Also Bandcamp, because of course you can directly support my future endeavors there, and SoundCloud. I don't know many people that use SoundCloud, but I know SoundCloud is super cool. It's where all the cool kids listen to music. I'm out of streaming services, but even if you really like the EP, you can make a TikTok dance and post it on there, because the music is on TikTok.
And that's how you do it now, apparently, is you go...
That's how you make a career.
That's how you make a career. I don't know if they've got that creator fund for
not in Canada. I'm not making dime off my TikTok.
Well, go to Bandcamp, give Hallelujah all your money, and like buy and listen to this record, because it's outstanding. Music video comes out tomorrow. It's April 26th. Hallelujah, it's been an absolute treat. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Cool. We'll talk later. Take it easy. Now let's cut to the aforementioned Jewels. You're listening to it on the Vancouver Mixtape here on CJSF 90.1 FM. That was Jules by Hallelujah Hailu. You are listening to it on the Vancouver Mixtape. We're going to close things out here tonight with a little bit of a somewhat different vibe. We're going to jump into the brand new single by Bloom 604. The song is Hospital Exhaustion. It's coming off the self-titled debut, which is out on April 30th. And features one of the show favorites, El Silvia, on vocals and lyrics as well. So here it is, the latest single from Bloom 604. You listen to it on the Vancouver Mixtape. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Until then, see you later.
Shattered prism. A glass, broken friend. Love at first sight. No pain, no gain. A polyp painting, a spirit of soul. Torn to shreds, yet entirely whole. I watch the spirit haunt my steps. Again, again and again. Between the trails of life. Watch that spirit haunt my steps. Again, again and again. Between the trails of light. I set the driftwood ablaze. Between the trails of light. Freedom and isolation. Everything is real and nothing is safe. I set the driftwood ablaze. Between the trails of light. Freedom and isolation, everything is real and nothing is safe.
Bird note. The dictionary defines anomaly as something difficult to classify, a departure from the rule. If any bird meets that description, it's the Wilson's phalarope. In a bird book, Wilson's phalaropes are found among the sandpipers, and in fact they do have the long, slender sandpiper bill. But instead of probing tide flats, they forage while swimming alongside ducks. They spin like tops on the water. That creates an upwelling, pulling food to the surface, which the birds pick off. The breeding of Wilson's phalaropes is even more unusual. Females are the brightly colored sex, opposite of most birds. And courtship roles are reversed. Females compete for males, sometimes mate with several. And once they lay eggs, leave all parental duties to the males. In summer, Wilson's phalaropes nest in prairie wetlands in the northern half of the western United States and well into Canada. But come winter, they head south, some as far as Argentina. In common with most birds, however, Wilson's phalaropes face conservation challenges, particularly when it comes to the protection of their winter habitat. To learn more about the anomalous phalarope, come to our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
You are listening to On the Tracks with Jen LaFranc.
Hi, this is Betty Levitt, and you're listening to On the Tracks with Jen LaFranc.
Hi, this is Adam Cullen, and you're listening to On the Tracks with Jen LaFranc.
You are listening to On the Tracks with Jen LaFranc on 90.1 FM or on the web at cjsf.ca.
Hi, this is Hillary Scott, and you're listening to On the Tracks with Jen LaFranc.
Hey, you're listening. Should I say I'm Jan Orden?
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Tune in for Who Knows What Music I'll Bring to You at 6 a.m. on Wednesdays. You'll hear On the Tracks with Jen LaFranc right here on 90.1 FM, CJSF, Simon Fraser University Campus Radio.